Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks to the UFCW International and the United Mine Workers for supporting the show. And thank you for checking out our podcast and our Patreon, patreon.com/theunionedge.
And back joining us right now, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
Great to be with you, as always.
Great to have you, Buck.
Thank you. Yeah, sure. We're coming down to the last end of it, on the end of the day, right?
That's right.
Almost
starting
the
that weekend.
Yeah. You know, we have today as a guest, we have Grace Trudell. Grace is a member of the International Union of Electrical Workers, and she's in Local 58, like I said, Detroit, Michigan. Hello, Grace. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Buck. Thanks for having me.
That's a pleasure. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got hooked up with IBEW and kind of what you're doing now.
Well, I started back in 1999 with my apprenticeship with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Detroit. I had some family. My in-laws were involved in the trades, and it just so happened at that time I was working with youth, inner-city youth, for American Indian Services, and looking for a career change, basically, and came upon a book with Must Careers, and seeing, you know, I had the skills and knowledge, and I just wanted to do that. So I applied, and, you know, less than a year later, I got in. And then back in August of 2012, I took a next step in my career as an electrician and became a business agent with the local. So now instead of just working out in the field with the tools, I'm the one that's at the table negotiating different contracts and representing the members. So it's a bit of a change, but it's well worth it. I do like it most days.
So but you worked out in the field for a good number of years, though, correct?
Yeah, Yeah. I worked out in Michigan in the blistering cold and, you know, some of the hot summers and with the fireware that, you know, we have their arc flash stuff and I paid my dues. Let's just put it that way.
But you're part of another organization called the Coalition of Labor Union Women, correct?
That is correct.
Tell us a little, you know, I mean, I know you guys have been around since, like, the early 70s, right? And so, so tell us a little bit about that organization and what you guys do.
Well, the Coalition of Labor Union Women is with all union women, not just electricians, or even friends of women, union women. And we try to make things better for all the women in the trades, whether it's through, family medical leave, trying to put those words into place just to make things better. It's kind of hard to focus in on one right at the moment, but we do different resolutions that affect women, which eventually ultimately affect everyone in the country, because if you're dealing, you know, if we're dealing with childcare, then, you know, there's men out there too that have the same problems, but it's mostly a women's issue, and, you know, it affects everybody if we can't make it to work because our kids are sick at home or, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are, you know, as a group though, you organize the unorganized though too, correct? That's a big job.
Oh, absolutely. We want everybody to have a better standard of living. And you know, we do that. We want to make our voices heard. So I think most of the concentration, a big part of the concentration is letting women know that, you know, you can, you know, run for office, and we provide that type of help as well. That's the big thing right now is with the Women's March even that's coming up this weekend. Throughout the country is, you know, you want your voices heard. You see what's happening in Washington that basically taken away our rights once again. We're back to that part and having others speak up for us when who knows better what affects a woman than another woman. So,
is there often, you know, you've been part of these some of these marches and things before? Is there kind of a like, you know, is there a point where everybody's, you know, listening to everybody else's views? I mean, you know, everybody comes from such different walks of life. Like, one of the things I noticed was, you know, a lot of the local union, I don't know whether Local 58 or maybe you could tell us, but, you know, they've gone more to, you know, hooking up with the community in different ways to make sure that everybody's aware of what the real issues are. I mean, is there anything inside that you'd like to say? Do the union women talk to, say, the women that are the secretaries? I don't mean to, I'm just picking on a job there, but...
Oh, I do it all the time in my own, you know, when I'm in the office and I talk with our office professionals there, the OPIU, and we all have, you know, the same complaints and, you know, problems. Mm-hmm. They might be a little different here and there, but ultimately they're basically the same. And then it all comes back to having your voice, you know, and having your voice heard. So a lot of times we feel, you know, we just take what we're given, we show up for work, and we do what we're told, and that's it. But why not have a say in how things, you know, affect us? Because there's certain, I mean, I can go a little bit more specific on that, and having a, say, in construction, the 7 o'clock start time, and they want to change it to a 6 o'clock start time. Well, a lot of the child care places don't open till 6:30, so that's going to put a big hardship on not just women alone, but for the majority part. You know, we have a lot of single working moms out there, and child care is still a big issue that, you know, we're trying to get some resolution to. So a lot of it, we all come together, and, you know, we listen, and we go out there, and we talk to other, the community, to let them know that we're here. We want to hear what their specific issues are and see what we can do to make it better. By talking with our representatives in politics.
So you're saying you think that being part of a group that discusses, you know, the labor movement and working class issues, with that's part of being a business agent, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It all ties in together. It's kind of hard to define where that line stops. I mean, it's nonstop, and we could go on and on and on, but because one thing leads to another, but just to stay focused, it's we have to deal with that area, and I'm just one representative in my local, but to just try to narrow it down to just one issue, even it takes a lot of focus, and
it takes a lot of,
with the women, with the women, you know, numbers count. It's not just me standing up there saying these things need to be done. It's not, I listen to what the other women say, and go from there. So it's not just my issue. It's all of our issue.
Well, I think, you know, you talked a little bit before the break, and I think you know, you talked about the 7 o'clock start and things like that, or issues like that. You know, there of course there's a lot of single moms and things, but there's just single parents, period, and that's something that. That should be something that's put in the collective bargaining agreement for everybody, you know, in some way.
Right.
It's just a better thing for, you know, for everyone. And like I said, I applaud your efforts to do that. How you talk about your local group. How often do you meet?
So I'm involved with a lot of different things and wear many hats. But we have within Local 58, we have our own women's committee that meets once a month. And then I also am still spearheading to get started a local chapter within the Huron Valley with the Coalition of Labor Union Women. And that's a small group of us meeting once a month as well. We took a little bit of a break over the holidays because it gets a little busy during that time, but we're still going strong.
We'll talk a little bit about this committee, this women's committee that you have internally. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so we were basically put together to recruit and retain the women in our local. When we go out into the community, whether it's at schools or job fairs or just different women's organizations, that we know of or hear of, go out and talk to the women to let them know that, you know, if they are considering, or maybe they don't know what they want to do, or maybe they know what they want to do and they just never realize that, yeah, if they can be an electrician as well and it's a rewarding career, there's plenty of benefits to it. And, you know, we've made it through. And to hear it from another woman, it just makes all that more sense, because a lot of times what I get, the feedback that I get is that, I didn't even think of, I never considered myself being an electrician. And I let them know, I was like, you know, at your age, I never thought about it either until one day, you know, in my late 20s, there I was learning a new trade and working with my hands. And it was the best decision that I've ever made. So just to let them know that that option is out there for them, it makes all the difference in the world. And we have not as many as I'd like to see, but we've had increased numbers of applicants for our apprenticeship program.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Far as the recruitment or the retention part of it goes, we've had we still don't have enough women in the trade, in my opinion. You know, out of the near 5,000 members, we're still under 200 women in our local, and a lot of other locals that are in the IBEW still say, well, that's more women than we have, you know. So, and it's a trade thing as well. And a lot of it goes back to talking to the women out there in the community and letting them know that they have this option available to them. The recruitment comes, or the retention, I should say, comes into play as far as they weren't quite sure that they could handle the job that's given to them, you know, and they're not cut out for it, or it is a tough job. It is construction. So you have to, here in Michigan, have to be aware of the elements that you're going to be getting yourself into. It's just not, you know, pulling, you know, doing wiring in houses. We're out there in the oil refineries and the steel mills and building hospitals and schools and airports, and it takes a special person to do construction.
It's hard work.
And women can do it. I mean, we do it on a daily basis, if you want to think about it. As far as, you know, cleaning, we have the cleaning, you know, someone that goes into someone's house to clean their house all the time, or into the schools or into wherever to do the dirty jobs, you know, we do that.
We're going to take a little break.
Sure.
When we come back, we'll continue this discussion about a little closer to what's going on and with the marches this weekend. We're speaking to Grace Trudell, a business agent with Local 58 IBEW out of Detroit. I'm Buck Chino, and you're listening to the Union at Ladies Talk Radio.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but you grew up and things changed. Well, it's time to put it back on your list. Innovative things are happening in teaching today, and you can be a part of it.
Make more. Teach. Visit teach.org. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM fighting for American jobs. Nabisco, maker of iconic snack brands like Oreo, Ritz Crackers, and Chips Ahoy, has made its fortunes in America, and its patriotic response has been to send U.S. jobs to Mexico. As a result, consumers across the U.S. continue to boycott their Mexican-made products. Corporate revenues are down across North America. Consumers are sending a loud, clear message. Now, religious leaders from all faiths across the U.S. are calling for an investigation into this Nabisco business model and have scheduled a 6-city tour to look deeper into the matter. Just as the NAFTA negotiations are in the forefront, the faith community will begin to talk to workers, politicians, and other faith-based leaders addressing this U.S. jobs exodus by Nabisco from a moral and ethical perspective and widely publishing their findings. The BCTGM and Interfaith Workers Justice, its faith-based coalition partner, ask all people of faith and social conscience to join this fight against Nabisco's exploitation of workers in the U.S. and in Mexico. Millions are already not buying Nabisco products made in Mexico, and it's already impacting their bottom line. Join our fight for moral and economic justice at fightforamericanjobs.org.
Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they could be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Great to be here with you, Brittany. Thanks to the Operating Engineers Local 66 and Apple Tree Media Works for supporting our show.
And joining us back again right now, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's always great to be with you, ladies. It's always a pleasure.
Great to have you, Buck.
Yes. We have Grace Trudell. Grace is a business agent with the IBEW Local 58 out of Detroit. Grace, thanks for taking the time and joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Buck.
It's a pleasure. And before the break, we were talking about the mission of the Coalition of the Labor Union Women. And one of the things you talked about at the beginning, you talked about basically to bring women's issue on the labor agenda and also to involve women in political action. There's some of that going on tomorrow, isn't there?
Well, there is going to be all around the country for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And here in Michigan, it's going to be on Sunday at the Capitol starting at 2.
Tell us about Sunday.
Well, Sunday the 21st, they're going to have the Women's March at the Capitol starting at 2 o'clock. There's going to be some speakers, and there's going to be basically a rally just to let the government know that we're still here. We're not going anywhere. We're going to be fighting and uniting together to basically let them know that we matter. We're having some politicians there as well, some women, and running for office is going to be a big thing. That we're not going to be shushed, basically, and let them know that the things that we fought for all these years, we're still going to continue to fight for, and hopefully get them back. The things that they're wiping away in up in Washington that directly affect women.
So you're encouraging people to run for office?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what better way?
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I am at the local level. I serve on our on a school board.
How do you like that?
It's definitely different. It's definitely a learning experience. I've never ran for office before. I'm not big on politics until I started to realize how important politics are that affect you every single day. And, with my son in school, what better way to start get my feet wet than to run for local school board? So, and it's opened up my eyes quite a bit as to how things are, how policies are made and how my vote, my voice affects the lives of others. So it really matters, and having a say in what's going on as far as education goes in our public schools.
So there's something that's on the table that's probably pretty important to you too, and that's the attack of the Michigan legislators to repeal the prevailing wage. Tell us a little bit about you and what we're doing there.
Absolutely. Yep, I will be at the Capitol this Sunday with some petitions to gather signatures for the Construction Workers Fair Wage Act, and that's basically just leave prevailing wage alone. Prevailing wage was, set back in the 60s to let the area's standard wage prevail, so it wasn't, the wage wasn't going to be the final determination in who gets awarded that contract. So we wanted to make it a level playing field at that point, and that's been going since 1963, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it's working out well, you know, for the workers on that job, because now the competition just basically comes down to who's going to do the better job. And it doesn't really affect the bottom line, because you want your high-skilled workers out there doing that work, and your end result is going to be that job's going to be done on time and under budget. So what they have they've collected, there's petitions going around to repeal that. So, and it just doesn't make any sense to me that you want to undermine your own communities that way.
Well, that it ruins everything, right? Like you said, right from the infrastructure to everything else, the neighborhoods and the whole thing. And like I said, I've always said, and you know, in retrospect, though, I mean, it really doesn't affect the union worker as much as it does the non-union worker. I mean,
absolutely, I think it affects the non-union even more. when I go across meet the competition, so to speak. It's like they appreciate the prevailing wage, and why wouldn't they? You know, if this is something that goes back, that's that taxpayer. As a taxpayer myself, I want people in my community to continue to work and put back into the community, and that's what the prevailing wage law does. So and that's money coming back into that tax base.
So now it's up to the folks basically at this point, right, for folks like you that work in, that are in the field every day, to try to convince our legislators not to vote for it, right?
Oh yeah, that's the goal. It doesn't do our state any good by not having that in place. There's far better things that could be taken care of, like our education system. put more money into that for one of the examples, but we're going to leave it pretty much up to the taxpayers, to the voters at the polls. Let the voters decide, sometimes, and people don't understand. We need to educate the voters as well to let them know that this is damaging to our state. We're in a boom time right now, and that's a good thing. And I think we're going to be in a boom time for a few more years. And this is not going to affect their bottom line in a negative way. It's just leave it be.
Well, there's a little thing that as a school board member, a lot of things we worked on was a thing called the responsible contracting process, and that was kind of an agreement between the contractors and the schools to basically have things like internships and things like that. So. But it sounds like you guys are going down. It sounds like you're passionate and you like what you're doing. And, you're working your way up the ladder. And we appreciate everything you are doing.
Oh, well, thank you. Sometimes, it's never ending, the things that need to be done. And I'm only one person. And I do need sleep from time to time, but it's helpful. I'd like to educate people on what the real facts are, because a lot of times people just rely on getting their information from the news, and we know how sometimes the media can twist things. So, or all of what the president now says, I don't even know what he says, basically. Mistruth. Lies. People aren't believing all these lies. And it's just like, it's unbelievable the way this country's gone. You can't negate the facts. And that's what we try to present,
you
remember, just the facts.
You can't conquer evil with good. Now we're doing some good things.
it's a struggle. It's a struggle sometimes. But it's, I'm not giving up for sure.
There you go. Thanks for joining us today, Grace. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Buck. Yep, bye-bye.
That was Grace Trudell. She's a business agent for local IBEW Local 58 out of Detroit and a member of the Coalition of Labor Union Women. That being said, for Charles Showalter, Angela Bachman, Victor Sheets, and the whole Union Edge team, I'm Buck Gino, and you've been listening to the Union Edge, right? Let's talk to you.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.